Today in our gospel, just like last week, Jesus predicts his passion and death. And just like last week, his disciples respond in a very inappropriate way. Last week, when Jesus foretold his passion, Peter began to rebuke him. This week, in response to Jesus' prediction, the disciples don't know what to say, and they soon begin to argue amongst themselves about which one of them is the greatest. So they hear that Jesus is going to suffer and die, and their response is pride and rivalry. It's sad. It shows that they don't understand Jesus yet. They think Jesus being the Messiah is about earthly glory, and they want to make sure they get their share. Eventually, once they live through the crucifixion and the resurrection, they come to understand better that it's not about earthly glory, but about Jesus giving himself up to death for them and for each believer to save them from sin and death. Once they understand that, then they finally know what the proper response is to the passion of Jesus. Jesus gave himself up totally for me to save me, because he loves me. The proper response, the only response, is one of love in return, of returning that gift in love. That's what the apostles go on to do, of course, spending their lives in God's service. How can I make a return to the Lord for all the good he has done for me? On the cross, Jesus gave us everything. In response to that, if we love God, the only response we can make is to give him everything in return. That's what love does. We've talked about making a return to the Lord with our prayer, giving our time to him in conversation and praise. We talked about making a return to the Lord with our talents, putting our special gifts and charisms into use for him. But our return to the Lord is incomplete if it doesn't also include the financial gifts the Lord has given us. I know this is not an easy time to be a Catholic. I know how frustrated and confused and angry we are at some of the leaders in the church in response to the scandals. And maybe this is just a bad time for our Stewardship Sunday to fall. But for me, my tithing isn't about the church and about how much the church needs or deserves. My tithing is about my relationship with God. No matter how I feel about the church hierarchy right now or at any time, as I look at Jesus on the cross, as I meditate on all that he did and suffered for me, I still want to give him everything. And I know that my offering to the Lord is incomplete if I'm not making a return from the financial gifts the Lord has given me. I still want to give the Lord everything because he's given everything to me. And it's not primarily about what the parish needs. Of course, you know, we do need money. We have staff to pay. We have lights to keep on and beautiful grounds to maintain, a huge school to keep running. So many different ministries that this parish is involved with, which I'm just starting here. I'm just trying to wrap my head around all the things the parish does, you know, from visiting the sick and the elderly to establishing and supporting two other schools, one in Minneapolis, one in Africa, to all of our evangelization efforts, to caring for the poor, all sorts of things. It's a lot to keep up with for me, and so, of course, we do need money. But giving to the Lord isn't primarily about what the parish needs, or what the church needs, or what the poor need. Even if the parish didn't need any money, even if there was no practical use for it, we would still give to the Lord. That's what they did right from the beginning in Genesis. You know, you had Cain and Abel, and there was no money yet. The only economy was, you know, animals and grain, and they both made an offering to the Lord from that. It's the first sacrifice recorded in human history. And they didn't give because the church or the prophet or the priest needed it. There wasn't any of that yet. They gave because it was an act of worship to God. They gave because it showed their gratitude to God for creating them, for blessing them. It made that gratitude real. They gave to acknowledge that everything they had was a gift from God and ultimately belongs to God. This continued throughout the Old Testament with the Holocaust offering, where the whole animal was offered up on the altar, consumed by fire. More often in the sacrifices of the temple, part of the animal was burnt up, part went to the priest or the prophet, and the rest was a big sacrificial banquet for the people. And with that, you know, you could say that they were supporting the needs of the temple and they got something back, and you can kind of understand it in worldly terms. But the Holocaust offering, the whole burnt offering, was still a part of the religious life of the people. They still periodically made a whole burnt offering to the Lord, not because he needed it, not because they themselves or the priests or the prophets derived any use from it, but simply because it was right to make an offering to the Lord in praise, gratitude, and worship. This attitude continued in the New Testament. Think of the calling of the apostles. You know, you've got Peter and Andrew, James and John there by the sea, mending their nets. And Jesus is walking by the sea, and he calls them, "Come, follow me." And they leave their nets and their boat, their whole business, their livelihood, and they follow him. And the point in that case wasn't to give their resources to the temple or even to the needy. They simply gave it up for the sake of God. As far as they were concerned, it was gone for good. It was a Holocaust offering, the first of many offerings that they would make over the course of their ministry. How can I make a return to the Lord for all the good he has done for me? Since he's given me everything I am in my creation, and since he gave me everything he is on the cross, I will strive to give everything back to him. One way that we do that is by tithing. Tithing is offering up a percentage of our income to the Lord through the parish and perhaps in addition through another charity. We give only a percentage instead of literally giving everything back to the Lord, because of course the Lord wants us to live on what he gave us. But as a reminder that everything ultimately belongs to the Lord and that we hold it just as stewards for our time on earth, as a reminder and as an offering, we give a percent back to the Lord. As to what percentage, that varies based on circumstances. A traditional ideal, which is found in scripture and in tradition, is to give 10%. I know it sounds like a lot, and it's something to build towards over some years. It's an ideal. In a few weeks, we're going to have our Pledge Commitment Sunday. So this is something to think about and pray about for a couple of weeks. There's some good information in the bulletin about this today. I invite you to look at that and pray about it. And we might ask, why money? Why does the Lord want money from us as an offering? Isn't prayer and other things more important? A lot of Jesus' parables are about money. Is he just obsessed with money? Well, no. The Lord asks this of us, not because money matters to him, but because money matters to us, to you and me. And an offering that is cheap or unimportant to us is a poor sacrifice. King David said, "I will not offer to the Lord any sacrifice that costs me nothing." It's like the kid, you know, every Lent who says, "I'm going to give up vegetables for Lent." You know, it's not much of a sacrifice. Okay, we might still ask, why so much? Why such a big percent? Why is that the ideal to work towards? Well, one reason is because money talks. You know, as they say in business, a budget is a moral document. It shows where our priorities really are. You know, we spend money on what's important to us. Or as Jesus put it, where your treasure is, there also will your heart be. We care about something a lot more when we are invested in it. So it's worth reflecting on. It's worth all of us asking ourselves, am I invested in God? What does my budget reveal about what's important to me? In our pews, we have these cards. This is the third week for them. They're a different color. You can pass them out. I think this is the last week for the cards. So we can save the trees next week. But take a card. And this invites you to reflect on your history of giving, on how that has been a blessing to you. One thing, especially with tithing, is that when we give to the Lord, it demands trust from us. It demands that we trust God, that He will provide for us, and we grow in our trust in God through that, and we grow in our relationship with the Lord through that. Just a bit from my experience, my first few years of earning a salary and tithing, for me, it's been important that I give to God first. It helps me cultivate a little detachment from my money. I'm not saying I'm good at detachment. I'm certainly not an expert at living poverty or simplicity of life. But it's been meaningful for me to know that no matter what other calculations or plans I'm making, that my offering to God comes first. Now, I have it set up online at the OLG website to auto-pay. So it's not a question of something I get around to later. It's not whether I'll do it. I know I've made an offering. Jesus Christ gave His everything for us. Let's ask Him how He wants us to make a return to Him in gratitude and worship.